and gentlemen, take a good look at little Phoebe here. Step right up, little Phoebe. Show them what we have inside. This is just a sample, gentlemen. Just a sample. Look at her wiggle. Ooh, look at her wiggle. Look at her move, ladies and gentlemen. It's all real. It's all real. And it's just a sample, just a tiny sample of what you are going to enjoy inside. And ladies and gentlemen, once you get inside,
to open. Oh, yes, yes. Unbeknownst and probably without will, you have arrived at the right point. By George, you've come at last to the right spot. Yes, it could very well happen tonight. Tonight it could begin. Tonight. I say that there are satellite people, there are touchy people, there are nervous people, and then there are secret people. Now, oftentimes, all of them are combined into one. Then a man can be a touchy people, and he can be a satellite people, a nervous people, and a secret people at the same time. Now, briefly, a satellite people. Perhaps you don't know of a satellite people, but some people only exist in relationship to other people. They revolve around them. They revolve in an orbit, a kind of a magnetic, circular, oral pattern, where they circle around another person, and they assume the identity of the other person. It is a kind of vicarious we. Ever tell you about this chick I knew who worked for Singers? You know, I wonder whether you know about this secret group here in New York City. It's only in New York that I really find this working. The satellite people. Interesting crew. Some night I'd like to do a television show with a group of famous satellite people whose only fame is that they are a satellite of someone else. True satellite people. One of the most completely absorbed and integrated satellite people I've ever known was a woman who once worked for a famous singer who became a movie star. And this satellite woman became almost a carbon copy of the one she worked for. She wore her hair the same way. She laughed at the same things. She was angry at all the ex-husbands for the exact reasons that the parent planet was angry at the ex-husbands for. And she always spoke of communal memories. She would say, yes, I remember when we were starting on Picture A. We had just finished Picture B, I recall, and it was right after Al visited us. Al, of course, was the ex-husband who had come out to visit the children. After Al had visited us, rotten bum. And then when the parent planet would chuckle, or would laugh, or would weep, there would be a split second, and the satellite would weep, would chuckle, or would laugh in exactly the same way. Well, she was a true satellite person. And a satellite person, in the complete sense, has no will, absolutely no will of her own, has no world of her own, no drive of her own. Yeah, so then, one day, she got canned. The parent body canned the satellite, or the moon. Well, she drifted for about 2 weeks, and then attached herself to another singer and became a completely different person. Hair grew longer. She became sensuous. The other had been the girl next door type person. The second one was the sensual, sitting at the bar singing, "Set 'em up, Joe. I want another for them." You know, this jazz, you know, the long weepy tear and the you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. Well, the most intriguing thing about this satellite person was that she was able to transmit her satelliteism into the second generation. Her daughter was a satellite of her mother, who was a satellite of someone else. You know, it's like carbon copies. The third one gets kind of faded, you know. The second one is a little bit faded, and the top copy is clean. Well, this is the sense you had all the time. And once in a while, you'd see the three of them walking down the street. It was a weird, very weird experience. You know, it was like seeing a bad mirror. You'd see one person, and the other two would sort of flipper off there, and off to the side. And this is a very common thing here in New York City, the satellite people. Then there are the secret people. The secret people. These are the people who seem to live no lives of their own. Or at least one cannot detect their life. Yeah, they're just there. They're in the office. They're in the ante room. They're in the laboratory. They're in the school. They keep their own counsel, whatever that counsel is. And once in a while, someone will build a little rumor or a fantasy about them. And then someone will break that. And then no one will care, really. And then one day, he'll jump out of the window from the 43rd story. Just gone. Like that. Secret people. And then there are the secret, secret people. The secret people who keep their mouths shut, but who disagree with everything that's going on around them. Who think that it's all a... you know... And then there are there are millions of little gradations of this, you know, in and out, up and down. Of course, it all goes back to the hollow mockery principle. The hollow mockery principle.
The hollow mockery principle!
Have you ever heard of a mockery that wasn't hollow? Or an ache that didn't nag? Particularly if it was a back-type ache, huh? or a headache that didn't split. I think I'll split. I think I'll walk out on the whole shebang. You know, just think for one 30-second moment. Some of the things I could do here in the next 30 seconds that within 15 seconds would have the entire town talking about something. Just think, some of the things I could do. I'll never forget my Uncle Tom. Old Uncle Tom lived in an apartment. He was the only uncle I had who really lived in a true apartment. He was my rich bootlegger uncle. Old Uncle Tom used to occasionally walk to the window, stand there in his spats. The only man I ever knew who wore spats. Real spats, you know? There was a store here in town a couple of months back that tried to bring spats back. They had them in the window, and they called them ankle mittens. I could just see some guy going through the stock down in the basement of the store, and he comes across 14 gross of dove gray spats, and he says, "For crying out loud, spats. Let's try something. Ankle mittens." They're back in the basement now. Now, not only has he got 14 gross of spats, he's got 14 gross of unwanted ankle mittens. But Uncle Tom was an ankle mitten wearer. He also mixed a rather interesting clandestine martini. But Uncle Carl and Uncle Tom had nothing to say to each other. They were on opposite sides of the bar. It's almost like politics, you know, really, in the sense. One communes with the other, but there is no real communion, actually. And Uncle Tom, I remember standing there looking out over that lost and gone, forever bending in city of Chicago. The quiet smoke of the yards rising above the long wash of the lake. Looking out once in a while, he'd pick his teeth. He was a great tooth picker. Saying, "What they want is excitement." He felt strongly that what people wanted more than anything else was excitement. And as a kid, I used to say, "What do you mean by this?" Everybody is bugged by one idea, you know. Few people actually have an idea, but let's say many people are bugged by a slogan. Or they're bugged by a cliche, or they got some kind of a gambit which they cling to. Do you know, have you ever known people whose entire gambit was to be angry? It's the only thing they could trade on, anger. Oh, speaking of the angry, WOR, AM at FM, New York. And if you don't think this is an angry station, you should just reach out your finger and touch it in a tender spot, Dad. Speaking of tender spots, we'll be here until midnight. And among other things, we have with us General Tire. If you're tires that you're riding around on have tender spots on them, I would suggest you visit your General Tire dealer. He's got those tough, hard tires that will carry you through endless miles of traffic jams throughout the summer, endless trips to Jones Beach, and other wonderful argosies into that long, thin horizon of anxiety and adventure. Your General Tire dealer. And they're beautifully round. Hardly the roundest. And also, we have with us Ballantine. Ballantine Ale. Yes. No. He's wrong. He's a mistake on the schedule. Oh, no. Every time you say the word ale. Ale is one of those strange, exciting words. Like cutlass. For some reason or other, cutlass is an exciting word. Cutlass. Argosy. Flight. This is a ridiculous word. Stop it. Cut it out now. I mean, you realize, of course, that there is a whole population growing up within our ranks who feel that they have cornered and, in fact, have almost originated the entire concept of loneliness. This is another New York, almost a New York growth, like a mushroom growing south of 14th Street. But loneliness, naval contemplation, and the rejection of a society is a kind of an invention of theirs. And do you know that among the lonely, there are Mickey Mantles that bear their cross of loneliness louder and more broadly and obviously more tragically than those around? I knew one guy who was so mad that he had a whole coterie of other angry people who looked up to him like baseball fans look up to Jackie Jensen. Oh, boy. Look at that. Look at the curl of that lip. And listen to the snap of that rapier-like tongue. Listen, you've never seen anything. Wait till that guy, the most majestic... Wait till he puts some... Wait, you haven't seen a put down yet until you've seen Fred's put down. And he puts everything down. Speaking of putting it down... I really couldn't believe my eyes. You will not believe this. I don't know how to frame this. Ed, give me some framing music, please. The next thing up on the thing there. Yes, the next thing up, yes. Bring it up. What better frame? Yes, that's what we're all looking for, and don't you think for a minute we're not. We're looking for a frame. Lights. something that says, there he is. There they are. Somehow they, up there, clinging to a fragile kite of achievement, flapping a tail on the rag of disappointed, torn hopes and dreams, tugging at the end of a long string of time. Don't think for a minute that isn't what we're looking for. A frame. Uh-huh. A frame of many colors. And as you know, a frame should never overshadow the substance of the subject. Divertissement. It should provide, let us put it this way, it should provide the neatly turned cuff on the long, raveled sleeve of experience. And so the frame shall be, and the button shall never get in the way, but shall always be both ornamental and useful. Which is all that we, in our own turn, wish to be too. Ornamental? Yes. And useful. Particularly to someone else. If only we can keep them somehow on their knees. The usefulness must be loud and clear and strong, and must be applauded at all times, must be understood and appreciated. Oh, it's Friday night. And you know what Friday night's like. Yeah. Here I am, at the old last, spinning and weaving. Unwanted, unloved, unheard. Yeah. And what's going on in the thousands of 1949 Mercuries spread out over the entire eastern seaboard? I'll tell you this, no spinning, no weaving. Searching for a frame. I look magnificent in lights. You've got to imagine me with a thick backdrop. Imagine me in a magenta spot. That's it. With a few little bullseyes spread left and front foreground. And then you step hard and heavy on those boards and move out to the center. And look out in the darkness and say, I am here. Indeed. How are you, Dad? How about you, baby, huh? You making it? Is it beginning to gel, huh? I thought so. Well, I guess you ain't the first one, you know?
Yeah, that's all we want.
The sound of a band playing off stage. It leads us to many things. Hold it there, Ed. Just put a hand on it and hold it. It leads us into many areas. Wonderful pathways. I'm honoring a request from an elderly lady who was bedridden in Staten Island. La da 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 I just thought you ought to know, through this fevered imagination, through this dark, stagnant pool of the mind, there flows a deep, rich vein of eternal cliché. La-da-dee-ya, la-da-da-dee-ya, ra-da-da-da-dee-ya, la-da-da-da. Which, of course, does not dismay the unsuspecting. But at the same time...
My God! Oh, masters, will you bring me my whiskey and soda, please?
Which undoubtedly does not disturb those who are rarely, if ever, disturbed. Now, I suppose if... it's like this guy wrote to me. He says, I'm a Philadelphian, and you know, Philadelphians have special problems of their own, which is indubitably true. Philadelphia. 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 You mind, Philadelphia, if I chuck you under your pudgy little chin? Hmm? Why don't you sit here with us and have a little of this, well, actually, it's a shy little wine. Philadelphia. Well, he said, I'm a Philadelphian, you see. And because I am a Philadelphian, I have my own problems. One of those problems is an almost instinctive reaction to change. An instinctive fear that causes the hackles of my neck to rise like tiny bits of prickle on an ancient cacti. Coincidentally, is there anyone out there who has a good, rich set of hackles? I was at my barber shop this afternoon and I lost mine. And so it's impossible for my hackles to rise at this point. Give me until Wednesday or Thursday, and boy, I can hackle anyone. Of course, a man whose hackles rise is called a hackler. And he says, being Philadelphian, I'm blessed with certain problems that most other people have only partially. We have them fully. And, of course, one of these problems is an instinctive reaction of fear. Moving backwards in the darkness, a dilation of the pupils when change approaches. When I'm driving along the turnpike, he said, and I quote he, indeed, the Philadelphian, I'm driving along the turnpike the other day, and suddenly I see a sign looming out of the darkness, green and white, glaring in my headlights, and it says, exact change. I shrank into my seat, the foam rubber cushions clinging to my buttocks, but they proved to be a little solace. Exact change, whatever change is exact. That sounds to me like an impossible comment. Exact change. Change is always only partial. But here it says exact change on the turnpike. I breathed a sigh of relief when I realized they were speaking only of money. Money never has bothered a Philadelphian. I threw my money into the opening of the hopper. A sign flashed at me. It says, thank you. Red letters on a green field. Thank you. He says, but I did notice next to me a guy driving a gigantic snorting automobile. One of those curmudgeons of the turnpike. Driving a car with turnpike-tested gasoline. Turnpike-tested tires. A turnpike-tested automobile. And he was a turnpike-tested man. You know, hard, sharp points sticking out on the back. Little chrome arrows from his ears. One of those angry men that go whistling past you on the pike at 3 o'clock in the morning, swirling dust, grime, smoke, and spattered mud. You know those guys that go whistling off into the darkness with their red lights flickering behind them? This guy windled down his windles, took his quarter, boing! Magnificent shot. The guy was a backboard artist, par excellence. Boing! The poor little machine was blinking, thank you, and the guy was already 400 yards down the pike. He says, but the thing to notice about it was that the machine was just as polite to that lout as it was to me. I, who approached that machine on my knees, who thanked it before it even thanked me, thanked it for taking my quarter. The machine knows no difference. Only the hard feel of that minted coin. Ka-thunk. Oh, no, to the machine, it is not the spirit that counts. It is the size and weight of the coin. Well, he whistled along the turnpike further. He says, being a true turnpike traveler with millions of miles behind me, I salivate instinctively at the sight of a certain orange color. Instinctively. I salivated properly every time those tile roofs came into view and salivated properly again the next time they came into view. That orange, he said, it makes no difference now. Every time I see that orange, I immediately begin to taste fried clams. Gotta have some. He says, I immediately have to look for the men's room, no matter what. It's just an instinctive reaction. We are but creatures in Pavlov's great maze, you know that, don't you? So come. All we're looking for is a frame. Marked. Exact change. Mitered change. Metered calories. Weighed and considered lives. All taped and neatly edited. Each in his own can. Row upon row in the magnificent files of all eternity. How you making it, Dad? I will award the Brass Pignogy with bronze oak leaf palm to anyone who can tell me the name of Kay Kaiser's bass player. And in addition to that, I will award you a bronze oak leaf palm with aluminum cluster. If you can suggest the name of the singer, the feminine singer, who appeared with Kay Kaiser. And deeper and deeper and deeper we go. So you see, there's hardly an area that hasn't been touched. To strut upon the stage. Poor, poor creatures we. Since it is quite true that we are all but actors in a vast, badly written drama that sprawls at the edges, don't you think it would help you a little bit if you got yourself a decent agent? Now, I mean, no actor worth his salt today. And by the way, do you know how the term worth his salt came about? Very interesting story. Boy, let me tell you, somebody's covering up. When that story gets out, Dad, Nellie, bar the door. If any of you are over 21 and really want to know what they mean when they say worth his salt, send your name and address to Hot Diggity Dog, WORAM and FM New York. And don't tell a soul where you got it. Just keep it to yourself, Dan. Keep it to yourself. Oh, yes, I'm serious about that Brass Pignogy with bronze oak leaf palm. Just an attempt, you know. Just one of those little momentary...
Oh! Ladies and gentlemen, I have available now beautiful Mexican hand-tooled simulated wallets, each front containing a very special set of art photographs. Before little Beepy goes on, little Beepy is waiting in the wing. I'm going to sell, so some lucky gentleman in this crowd here, some lucky gentleman is going to receive a Mexican hand-tooled simulated wallet. They contain one $10 bill to each and every one of you, ladies and gentlemen. In each and every one of these wallets, there will be a beautiful full-life color photograph of Jane Mansfield that blows out today one of the most beautiful artworks that you have ever seen in your life. Beautiful Mexican hand-tooled wallets. And in just a moment or so, another one of our men, one of our vendors, will move up and down the stands, and he will sell you some hand-tooled Mexican...
What's the matter, you chicken? What's the matter? What you hiding from, huh? Don't you know everybody's hiding, huh? What you hiding from, huh? You chicken, huh? Yeah. I don't know what you're ducking for. I know what I'm ducking for. I don't care what you're ducking for. What's the matter, you chicken? It is interesting to note that not one single American has stepped forward and volunteered the name of the bass player who performed with Kay Kaiser. And his College of... Let me tell you. There he is. Yeah, he struck the plug like a smallmouth bass in June in an icebound Maine lake. Speaking of the smallmouth plug, we have with us Alba dry non-fat milk. Say it to yourself. Roll it drippingly over the tongue. Alba dry non-fat milk. Instant non-fat dry Alba milk. Alba dry instant non-fat milk. Instant fat non-dry Alba milk. Roll it so drippingly over your tongue and you will find that it all comes out the same. Yes. Mix it with a little water, Dad, and you got instant dry non-fat milk that tastes exactly like milk because it is milk with all of the jazz removed. And by the way, one of the beautiful things about Alba dry instant non-fat milk is that you can keep it in your cupboard and when you need it, you mix it up. You don't have to go out on Monday and buy a quart, and by Friday it explodes because you've used only one-third of an ounce, measured out by the eyedropper that many people measure their milk by. And it tastes exactly like the best milk, which is exactly what it is. Oh, tighten it again just a little harder. There. Oh. Yeah. Now you're sitting up well. There. There you are. Sitting up well. My George, beginning to breathe.
Oh. Tonight is but young, and you are so
beautiful, my dear. I don't know whether chicks ever feel the urge to make barrel staves on the Ohio River or to crouch windblown in the cab of an eight-wheeler chugging up the long grade of the eastern slope of the Rockies. I don't know. I don't know about this, but there's something about Friday night that makes just that little edge of the insanity that is in every one of us begin to show, oh, ever so slightly. Just a little bit, you know, a little steam around the collar. A little squeaking of the stays, if I might coin a phrase. Oh, was there a phrase that was ever not coined, that somehow was created out of thin air? Other than, oh, speaking of thin air, hold it, hold it, hold it. Hold it, hold it, hold it. One of the saddest little items in a long time. I wonder, perhaps, if I could have, I think cheap guitar music would do it for this point here. Oh, Georgia Carol did not make it with Kay Kaiser. Get it out of your skull. Oh, it's so sad to see Americans falling down badly, heavily. Let me tell you this. You don't confuse many an Englishman about his history. Americans, shoddy. Shoddy, they melt under the heavy driving rain of fact. They melt like those poor, sad, busted up, tired paper towels that one finds in the third-rate restaurants. Yeah, I would love to sketch that. I would love to sketch that tiny room that so many of us have been in our lifetimes. All of us have been. Let's put it this way. That tiny room of which many, many, many times we have all seen. That tiny room, you know? The one back there next to the kitchen. The one with the jazzy little sign on the black swinging door And then there's a jazzy little sign on the other black swinging door. One of them shows a little pink poodle, and the other one shows a great big Great Dane glaring out at you. You know, that clever sign. And you get in there, and it's you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And you look into the mirror above the towel dispenser. And the mirror is kind of wavy. And the light is a yellow electric bulb hanging down. And you're in this most fancy of all spectacularly expensive nightclubs. And suddenly you get back there. You know something about it. But you don't want to face it, and you don't want it to be this way. You go out, nudge the waiter and sit down, order another one. It's all part of the dream. Not really a dream, it's a part of... Did you ever play on the swings when you were a kid? You know, the rings that you swing back and forth on? You're trying for the next ring, and 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 the next ring. Then you get to the end of the skein, and then you turn around and you try to make it all the way back, and you're about a third of the way back, and you know you're not going to make the next one. You swing back and forth a little bit, and finally, you plop. Yes. No, Georgia Carroll was not the singer I was referring to who made it with Kay Kaiser's band. Why must we always be? Why must we always be so imperfect? Why? Why can't we stride upon this stage, real, with the light coming down clean and cutting our features beautifully and nicely, roundedly, so that we stand out hard and ready and rich and ripe? By the way, speaking of that, what kind of life do you have? Is yours a rather badly conceived, badly directed, and even more badly acted off-Broadway flopperoonie that lasts for two nights somewhere in some theater that's above a pool room, someplace where the smell of cabbage mingles with the sound of the tape-recorded mood music, that poor, sad second act? Or is your life a hard-bitten, realistic drama of real people by Paddy Chayefsky, with just the touch of romanticism, outlining that flickering third act, huh? A Broadway smash, but yet rather thin. Rather thin. Oh, but that, don't push, don't worry. Don't sweat, don't cry. Yes. Da 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 dee dee da do da da do. Ra da da dee do 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 do. La da dee da 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 da. I now read from the Times. The space travel age is a time in which scientists are experimenting with the possibility that there may be other worlds around us, and that we might communicate with them when we learn how. Surely there must be other worlds, with temperature and chemical conditions like those of Earth. In all the matter that surrounds us, if life arose as a result of natural events, then the other worlds must be populated. Perhaps other worlds are inhabited by more advanced creatures than we. Some suggest. It might even be that something practical could be achieved if we could ask questions of a more mature civilization. How do you cure cancer? How do you prevent wars? Oh, Saturnians. During human history, man has steadily seen the universe of which he is a part grow larger. Man himself has become smaller, but knowledge has grown. Man now knows that other species have become extinct. He knows that evolution will proceed, the evolution of stars, of Earths, and of species, including the human species. It may be that the accumulation of book knowledge is part of the evolutionary pattern for the human species. With knowledge, perhaps man can control his own evolution and prevent his own extinction. Somehow, it reminds me of a small amphibious creature crawling out of a dark antediluvian sea. with an ancient sun barely filtering through the gray clouds of an early world. And this tiny amphibious creature looks up at the sun and says, I am the most glorious of all creatures. If somehow I could arrest the movement and the change which is inevitable. If somehow I could preserve me as I am now, and all the tiny crawling amphibious creatures that come out of the ancient antediluvian sea will be safe from change, then all problems would have been solved. It shall ever be thus. Yes. And then crawling to the rock, he clings in the sunshine, waiting, hoping, somehow planning even, for that spark of supernatural knowledge to stop all the stars in their movement, to stop all the solar systems in their climb, all the universes in their expansion. And the sun just keeps beaming down. Just a beaming and a beaming. Oh, by the way, that singer was not Patti Page. Oh, collectors of a life trivia that surrounds the eternal fringe of the beaded lampshade of time. Patti Page is wrong again.
This is W.